Let's go back to Genesis 6. Now, as I was studying for these two messages, it was clear to me that I had a lot of facts. A bunch of facts. And, you know, each verse as we go through this, it describes Christ to us. And with all these facts, it made me wonder if this was going to be like a history class. If I was going to be a history teacher teaching a history class, and then we're all going to have a test after this. I don't want this to just intrigue our minds. You know, have all these facts and wow. The scripture says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. And he spent his days telling men and women while he was driving these nails. I thought about all of these services, all of these messages, all of these. One more. Noah sat there and he'd grab another nail. And he'd drive one more nail. And then he'd grab another nail and he'd drive one more nail. 100 years. He was telling every soul he could, judgment is coming. Judgment's coming. And I want to cut to the chase with everybody in this room and everybody who hears this message, starting with myself. Judgment is coming. Judgment's coming. This is not just an emotional intro to a message. It's as serious as the flood itself. Judgment is coming. Our Lord said, as in the days of Noah. People are out right now marrying, giving in marriage. Economy's coming back. Life is good. But judgment's coming. This is a short life we live. I'm 38. I'm 38. I know that sounds young, but I mean, I'm over the hump. Whether our Lord comes back tonight or whether he tarries for 1,000 more years, he's given man 70, maybe a few more years, maybe just a few more. And then it's over. And judgment is coming. There is one place of safety, and it's inside this ark. That's what Noah was telling everybody who passed by. What are you building, Noah? Your only hope. Your only hope. There is one place of safety, and it is inside this ark. I don't want this to be just a bunch of facts. I really don't. I want God to show salvation to us. That's my prayer, is that God would reveal salvation to us this morning. This is one of the clearest pictures that we have of the wrath of God against a sinful world in all of the Scripture. God killed the whole world. It's one of the clearest pictures we have. This is also one of the clearest pictures we have of a believer's salvation. And a believer's hope in all of the Scripture. Whoever was outside of that ark perished under the wrath of God. But whoever was inside that ark was saved alive. Safe and sound. Now, this world calls it Noah's Ark, but it's not Noah's Ark. This is God's Ark that he put Noah in. There's a big difference. You know that? That's the difference between religion and the truth. The world of religion tells men and women, if you want to survive this flood, you're going to have to build you an ark, like Noah did. But this is not Noah's ark. This is God's ark that he put Noah in. We just saw a minute ago that Christ built this ark. And by God's grace, now we're going to see that Christ is the ark. Christ built the ark. Christ is the ark. Chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood." Gopher wood. Now, nobody knows what gopher wood is. I tried to find it out, and nobody knows. But this ark was not made of a metal like our big aircraft carriers are. He didn't forge any metal. It was made out of wood. Common material, wood. The first thing that had to happen in order for this place of safety to be made is something had to be cut down. Something had to be cut down and stripped. Our Lord was revealed to us just a few chapters over as the tree of life. And though he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he made himself of no reputation, and he took on the form of a servant. God became a man. Verse 14 says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark." Dwelling places. The ark was not just a wide open floor with a sign that said general admission, which is what the world thinks it is. There were specific dwelling places. None left over. None were empty. There weren't too little. The exact number. He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you," didn't he? "I'm going to prepare a room for you." What earned that place? What gave me the right to that room? Verse 14 says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." The word pitch means atonement. To make or cover with an atonement. You know what an atonement is? Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It's the blood that pays the price, wipes it clean. Atonement. He said, "You're going to cover this ark within and without with atonement." It's going to be covered in pitch. If we're going to survive the outpour of God's wrath, we must be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. I can tell you that. Sinners are going to meet God. The only ones who will survive are those who are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Noah preached this, and he built this ark for 100 years. He was 500 years old whenever he had his three sons, and he was 600 years old when he went inside the ark. 100 years. And if a man hollers something long enough, to some degree, somebody's going to believe him. When I first started preaching, a few men told me, be careful what you say, somebody will believe you. Right? If a man says, we're all going to ride out of here on comets, to some degree, somebody will believe him. You got to wonder along the way, 100 years. Along the way, how many people told Noah, I'm going to get in that ark with you. I think I'm going to get in that ark with you. When you get finished with this thing, Noah, you keep working on it. And when you get finished, when the time comes, I'm going to be the first one in line. I'll be there. Now, I don't know what they're going to do, but I'll be there. I'm with you. But I'm going to wait. I mean, I'm going to, you say you got about three score and ten more to go. I'm going to wait till it's a little closer to the time. We're not going to worry about all that right now. And they never made it. Never made it. You got to wonder how many people said, I see where you're going with this. I see what you're saying. But they watched him lathering this whole thing with tar. Black tar. The whole thing, top to bottom. And the sight of it was so ugly. The sight of it was so offensive. What are you doing? You know, something that's covered in blood is very offensive. The sight of it was offensive. The smell of it was offensive. How many people do you think there were that said, you know what, Noah? I think I'm just going to make my own boat. You have your thing going, and I don't want to mess up what you're doing. I've got some really nice cedar. Man, it smells so good. I'm just going to put a natural finish on it. Really try to enhance its natural beauty. Really showcase it. How many people do you think went to work on their own salvation? Really? But when the wrath of God beat down, and I'm not talking about the wrath of man. I read where one guy said he gave a fact about Noah's ark, God's ark that he put Noah in. He said, in order to fill the volume of the earth with water to 27 feet higher than the highest mountain, in a time span of 40 days, it was done in 40 days, he said it would have to rain 6 inches per minute. He said a Category 5 hurricane drops 6 inches per hour. This is the wrath of God. It wasn't just raining. When the wrath of God beat down, the only thing that could stop it from seeping in the cracks of a false hope and tearing it down was that pitch. It had to be covered in pitch. And the only thing that's going to save a soul is the blood of Jesus Christ. If he is not covered in that blood, whatever little salvation he's made on his own, it is going to come down. It's going to come down. It's not going to last. Verse 14, Genesis 6, verse 14 says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A cubit is roughly 18 inches. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. Big. 450 feet long. Verse 16, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. There was one window in this ark. One window. And it was not put in the side of the ark, it was put above. This window was not to see out. This window was to see in. It was roughly a cubit. This is our window. They had one window. Our Lord said, I am the light. I am the light. The light. One window. This is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. If any man's going to see, it's only going to be by the light of Christ. That's it. Verse 16 says, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. There was one door in this ark, one way in. One way. Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There is one door for the rich. There's one door for the poor. There's one door for the old. There's one door for the young. There's one door for the Jew, one for the Gentile. One way. One door. The giraffe and the snail had to go through the same door. Exact same door. No other way in. Well, old people need preaching and young people need activities. No, we all need Christ. We all need Christ. There's one door. Verse 16 says, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. When that door was open, you could see all three stories. In Christ, do you know what we see? We see God the Father. We see God the Son. We see God the Spirit. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 17 says, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. All these animals, every type in the world. Now, when the Lord told Noah that, he had to be thinking, how am I going to round up all these animals? How am I going to get them to come? All over the world? You're not, Noah. Just keep preaching. Keep hammering those nails. They're all going to come. They'll all come. You just keep preaching, and you just keep hammering nails, and they're all going to come. All of my animals are going to be willing in the day of my power. He's going to call them from every tribe, every nation, every kindred, every tongue. It doesn't matter how near they are. It doesn't matter how far they are. They're coming. It doesn't matter if they're considered to be clean or if they're considered to be unclean. They're coming. From the dove that's on the olive branch to the snake that's in the grass, they're all coming. Every one of them. God is going to bring every single one individually. In God's way and in God's time, He's going to bring every single one. Now think of the providence in the lives of all these animals. Think of God's providence in the lives of all these animals. They were born somewhere. They were born somewhere. Right? In their natural habitat, somewhere all over the world. Man was living 900 years. I don't know how long animals were living back then. It doesn't matter. But they were all born somewhere. And from the time that they were born, these particular animals spent their life, these particular animals, and here's a good illustration. Did God save the animal world? Yes. Did God save every animal? No. Who'd He save? The ones He chose to put in the ark. They're all there. We still have lions. We still have alligators, kangaroos. They're all there. Every type. He saved the ones He chose. He saved the ones He called. He saved the ones He put in that ark. All right? But think about the lives of these particular animals. They were born in their natural habitat in different places of the world. And they spent their lives migrating to the ark. Their whole life. That's what they did. What are you doing? They had no idea they were migrating to the ark. It was a constant movement toward the ark. They had no idea at the time, but everything that happened to them throughout the course of their life was pushing them to the ark. Every single thing. Everything they considered to be a trial of life. Well, I had a bad day today. What happened? A fox came and ran me out of my hole. Everything they considered to be a trial of life was ordered by God to drive them to the ark. God could have sent that fox to send two particular rabbits straight to the ark. God could have sent a crocodile to run a fox straight to the ark. He could have sent an elephant to run a crocodile straight to the ark. Could have sent a mouse to run an elephant straight to the ark. Straight to the ark. God brought all of His particular animals and He put them in the ark. Refined man would not come. Noah was telling them, and Noah was telling them, and Noah was telling them, and they would not come. So God laid hold on the wild beast. That's you and me. You know that? The worst of the worst. He came to save the chief of sinners. The snake. A song says, how can it be? How can it be that God would love a soul like me? How can it be that He would call the one who of His own accord, think about these animals, of their own accord would not come. Had no will to come. No desire, no heart. Saw no need to come. Do you think those animals were coming because they saw their need? No. These animals came because the Master said, come. Should these animals get any glory for being in the ark? What made you come? I don't know. I just came. I was just drawn. I don't know. When the time came for everything to get on that ark, Noah looks up and in perfect peace, Here come a lion and a lamb trotting over the hill together. Perfect peace. He wasn't running out there breaking up fights. Can you imagine all those? They had to be loaded in 7 days. Can you imagine the fights that would have broken out? Not a one. No attacks. No viciousness. They're calm. They're in their right mind. They have been tamed by the power of God's Holy Spirit. It is perfect peace. The Prince of Peace has wrought peace between them. And they're all collectively in unity, in one spirit and one mind and one happiness, willingly, lovingly, running to the ark. They're all running to the ark. Where are you going? The ark. How about you? Same place. Is that not us? Outside of Christ, we act like animals. Filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, envy, murder, deceit, backbiters, without understanding, without natural affection, unmerciful. But Christ in us has given us a brand new nature. One that loves God, one that loves God's people, one that loves peace because of the Prince of Peace. One that wants to do nothing other than come to Christ. That's all the heart of a believer wants to do, is come to Christ with a pep in our step. God told Noah they're all coming into the ark. Chapter 6, verse 21. He said, "And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." They were in this ark for 1 year. How do you get and keep enough food without it spoiling for 8 people and 2 of every animal in the world, 7 of some of them, for a whole year? How do you keep all that from going bad? Well, canned goods. Oh. So Noah just went to Kroger. How did that not go bad? Here is the amazing truth of this ark. Everything in it was preserved. Every single thing in it. Every single thing in it was preserved. They delighted themselves in fatness. Not one animal brought his own food. The lion didn't come in with a steak in his mouth. They didn't bring their own food. It was waiting for them, already there, prepared for them. Our Lord said, "I am the living bread. If you eat of this bread, you'll never hunger again. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." That ark supplied all their need. All their need. Chapter 7, verse 1. I'm almost finished. Chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord said unto Noah, "Come." He didn't say go. He didn't say go into the ark. "I'm here, you need to go there." What he said was, "Come into the ark. I will be in here with you. I will dwell with you." Chapter 7, verse 7 says, "And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beast and of beasts that are not clean, of fowls, everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in 2 and 2 unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wives and the 3 wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. And now here they sit. Here they sit. They have their window of light. And they're sitting, obeying God, believing God, trusting God. And all of a sudden, they hear, and you know Noah starts checking that pitch. Is there enough pitch? And he goes over to the door that was just shut and he's checking that seam. And the wrath of God is pouring outside and they hear the effects. And it's beating down, and it's beating down. And Shem says, Dad, who's going to pitch the outside of that door? And Noah says, my son, God will pitch it. The same God who shut the door will pitch the door. Rest. Rest. And the wrath of God beat down on that ark, and beat down on that ark, and they heard it just pouring against the roof of that ark. And as the wrath of God beat down, as they knew everything outside of this ark is going down, all of a sudden they felt. And while the wrath beat down and the waves beat sideways, that ark started going up. And the more that wrath beat down, the more that ark went up. And it kept raising up. And it kept raising up, and it kept raising up, until it set every soul on the top of the mountain. The ark was not exempt from the judgment of God. But every soul that was inside that ark was safe. Safe. Safe and sound. Chapter 7, verse 17 says, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. Now look with me at chapter 8, verse 4. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Verse 13 says, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Verse 18 says, and Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. That ark could say, of all that thou hast given me, I've lost none. All kept. Not one soul died inside that ark. Not of natural causes. Not of attack. Not one soul died in that ark. That ark delivered every soul. The same result will be for any sinner who God the Father puts in Christ. Same result. I want to be in Christ, my ark. I want all of us to be in Christ our ark. All right, let's stand together.